Europe, four in the Premier League, coming back from Anthony Gordon's goal, and the last goal, the most emotional goal seen at Anfield this season. Ibu Konate, after the week he's had, starting and scoring with incredible emotional celebrations right at the end. With Chelsea winning, we needed to win. We're now a point off the top four after Anthony Gordon had fired Newcastle in front. Magnificent skill, John Barnes-esque from Florian Wirtz, turning the Newcastle defence inside out, ball into Ekitike, 1-1, then a great ball by Kerkez, Ekitike racing away into the box down the left, wonderful finish, 2-1, in the second half Ekitike missed a great chance to score, but then Florian Wirtz, set up by Salah, scored, an emotional goal by Konate at the end as well. Great response from Liverpool this tonight. Liverpool 4, Newcastle United 1.
Steve Hunter delighted with that big statement win from Liverpool in the Premier League. 4-1 over a battling Newcastle. A perfect Saturday night under the lights at Anfield. Thanks for joining us on The Reaction. I'm Becky Davis. Coming up, we'll get the thoughts of Reds boss Arne Slot and Milos Kerkez very soon. Let's begin, though, with analysis from former Reds Jason McAteer and David James, who join me pitchside after the game. We said it would be a thriller, and I think they absolutely delivered, Jace. A really important win. It feels massive, that.
Yeah, I think after 13 games that we went unbeaten, the Arsenal game stood out, but there was no statement victory, was there? I think tonight, or performance, to be honest. But I do think tonight was a bit of a statement. It was, it was set up, and we discussed how we thought Eddie Howe might have gone. Five at the back, it might have been a different night for Liverpool. They might have made it more awkward. They might have nicked the draw. Who knows? Eddie will go away and reassess maybe his tactics and what he could have done better. And that might have been the case, but it wasn't to be. They came, it was a 4-3-3, and, you know, Liverpool played really, really well at times. And, you know, some good statement performances, four goals, that's 10 in two games now. Statement performance, statement win. And hopefully we move on from this and create a little bit more momentum.
Yeah, games are moments, aren't they?
They are.
Newcastle took the lead.
I'll
get my stat in now. I mean, it's the first time that Liverpool have won from going behind this season in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Once in the Champions League, of course. The second goal was the moment, because Newcastle were creating opportunities, if not great shots on target. And from a quick free kick, which was handed to them by the ball the ball person, a quick goal kick, quick ball down the line from Kerkez for Ekitike to run on and score the second. That changed the whole situation in the game, I think. And from there on in, I think it was a very controlled performance by Liverpool in the end. Ibu scoring at the end, of course, was very, very emotional.
It was.
But I think overall, the whole performance, like Jason says, was what was needed after a great performance in midweek in the Champions League.
Yeah, let's speak about that moment for Ibu, because until that point, I think the night belonged to Hugo Ekitike, but such a fitting end for him after obviously a really, really difficult time personally. And I think what was so fitting was seeing his teammates, every one of them ran over to him. Ali ran the length of the entire pitch to congratulate him and give him a big hug.
When you go through adversity as a team, you know, it's important that the dressing room sticks together and you look after each other with the negativity that's going around with the press and social media and the fans and question marks. And it can be very difficult, but it can unite you as a squad of players. And, you know, we've had our challenges this season, you know, losing Diogo, his passing it's been so sad for the club, hasn't it? And again, you know, the players have come together with that. And obviously performances haven't been great, so they've had to deal with that. And then obviously individual problems and sad stories and things happening as well with players and Konate tonight. You know, as we've mentioned, losing his father, and, you know, to get back on the pitch, we mentioned, you know, some people might question that, but sometimes as an elite sportsman, this is your solace. This is where you get out and you can forget. You know, for 90 minutes, you're with your teammates, you're doing what you do, and you're just on a place of, you feel safe. It's a nice place to be sometimes. And, you know, he was rewarded tonight with a goal, but his performance was good as well.
I was just going to say, it's important, David, to underline it wasn't just about the goal, because the performance across the entire game, I think a decent candidate for player of the match, Ibu.
what you said at the beginning of the show was about they're human beings as well. Yeah. And the performance was solid. Again, for all the things that we said beforehand, there was an opportunity for him to forget about the world outside of football and just concentrate on football, and he put in that performance. However, the human aspect came in after he scored the goal, and he couldn't help himself from breaking down in tears. I mean, that's the reality here. So up until that moment, he controlled himself in superb manner to put in a decent performance, but he is human, and we all saw that. And with Ali running down the length of the field, everyone else felt that as well. So this won't be remembered as one of the four threes, but I'm sure it'll be remembered for the human side of things.
Absolutely, very special reasons as well. I mean, in terms of the way the game started, it was a big show of character, really, for Liverpool to come back into it, because Newcastle started the better team when you look back at the early stages, and very physical, very aggressive. Anthony Gordon set the tone for that early on, didn't he? But you wondered whether they would be able to keep that up over the course of the 90.
Yeah, the game had a real good energy about it. And we mentioned, you know, under the lights, and, you know, historically this game has got goals in it, and we've had thrillers, as we mentioned, you know, at the top of the show. And, you know, the way we built it up, it could have been another classic. And it started off that way. It started off both teams going at it. There was plenty of space. It was open. Not too much goal mouth opportunities, but the game was opening and it was flowing. And then I just felt that Simon Hooper, the referee, kind of just spoilt it a little bit. It became stop start. The energy went out of it. The pace kind of went out of it. And then you were waiting for something to happen. And from a Liverpool point of view, it was a bit of a nightmare, really, because Anthony Gordon gets away. You know, he was causing problems. They were in a good spell at that time. And then he gets the goal. Liverpool go 1-0 down. But JMO's mentioned it, you know, time and time again tonight. They've shown character. You know, to come from behind and win is one thing. But, you know, they didn't. The body language wasn't bad. Sometimes you've seen them when they go a goal behind, the body language goes. The crowd gets a little bit down. But tonight, there was a bit of a lift. The crowd were up. There was an energy about the crowd. And then all of a sudden, we go bang, bang, don't we? And we get 2-1. We go in half time, 2-1 up. And, you know, we're back in the driving seats, and the second half was okay. But again, the referee played his part, kind of stopped starting the game, and it never really got into that classic mode.
Let's speak about the goals. Hugo Ekitike will speak about. Obviously, he gets the first one, but magic footwork from Florian Wirtz to set him up.
Yeah, I mean, for the sake of saying, we were talking about it beforehand, weren't we? Before the game, that Florian is in that kind of form at the moment, which I think everyone expected. That he wasn't going to be worried about too many close bodies with inside the box. And he just seemed to waltz through. I mean, the pass to Ekitike with his left foot, it was almost like a blind pass. He didn't have his head facing Ekitike to pass him. He obviously knew he was there. And for Ekitike to get his toe poke in was superb. But without Florian doing what he's been doing very well over recent matches, getting into the position to make the assist, then the goal wouldn't have been there. And it was... it was fitting, I think, as I say, considering how well he's been playing lately, for him to go and do that.
Yeah, their relationship, again, we did speak about it pre-match, but they've assisted each other 6 times now this season. That is the most by 2 new signings since John Barnes and Ray Houghton back in 87-88. So they're in fine company there, Jace.
Yeah, I mean, Jamie mentioned there, you know, the touch, when it comes to him, it's in mid-air. He has to touch it, kill it dead. And then once he's in the box, you know, his movements, his guile, you know, his balance just comes into play, and he moves the ball effortlessly, doesn't he? And, you know, defenders don't want to go near him, and then he gets away. And to be honest, I shouted shoot. I thought he was going to pull the trigger with his left foot, but he just stabs it with his right. But you're right. I mean, you understand he's got with Ekitike now. Ekitike's kind of gambled a little bit, but he's kind of, obviously, with the relationship that they got going, he's probably thought he could square this, or he might square it, or where they're at now, he's going to square it. And he's made the run, and he's got ahead of the man, and he's got the toe poke in, and, you know, puts Liverpool, you know, 1-1.
Yeah, we'll speak more about Florian Wirtz in a moment for goal number 3. But Hugo Ekitike, of course, gets the second, and it's really good work by Milos Kerkez, that ball, to set him up for that one, David.
It was really good work from the ball person who throws the ball to Ali. Ali puts the ball down, and it's a quick goal kick. I mean, we're watching a game, and it's like, oh, there's a pass. I don't think Hugo Ekitike even knew that it was happening until the moment that he looked up and saw Kerkez with the ball. It's the perfect weighted ball. I think, like Jason, a lot of people are thinking, what are you doing? Because Hugo kind of slowed down a little bit. You can see, I think it was Tao who was marking, was anticipating the burst of speed, but gave him some distance. But the shot with the outside of the foot was superb.
Yeah.
Across Nick Pope. I think it took Nick Pope by surprise. Definitely took Chow by surprise, because otherwise he would have tried to do something about it. But the finish was an instinctive skillful striker's goal. Bottom corner, superb.
Reminiscent of a Fernando Torres goal that was scored here. I don't want to take anything away from Ekitike. The build-up play was great. Kerkes's ball, quick thinking from Ali as well. They get him away. You know, he finishes it well, but the opportunity was gifted to him by the Newcastle defender. He comes across. He doesn't get far enough for me, and he kind of says to Ekitike, "Go on then, hit it." And a man who's in that form, you can't really afford to do that. You've got to be at least in close proximity to block the shot. You're going to make him go down the outside, which he was, because he doesn't want him to come inside. You've got to be close enough to block the shot when it comes in, and he wasn't. But I don't want to take anything away from Ekitike. It was a great finish, and Liverpool 2-1 up in bang bang, wasn't it? It was close. You know, close timings, and it was exactly what Liverpool needed.
Yeah, to go back to what you were saying about those Fernando Torres comparisons, we've seen Steven Gerrard here working tonight, and he said exactly the same thing. Shades of Torres at his peak. He's so calm, so confident, just looks so assured, doesn't he, David?
Yeah, and I let a few goals in from Fernando, so thanks for bringing that up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, but this is the thing, and the difficulty is when you're preparing for games, we can talk about formations and tactics, but from a goalkeeping perspective, you need strikers in your team who shoot that way for you to be practiced. Nick Pope wasn't expecting that shot, I can tell you now. You can tell by the way that he tried to save it. Yeah. He wasn't expecting that shot. And that's where I'm giving Tao a little bit of lenience there, because he probably thought, well, he's going to hit it with his left and Nick's in the position to block it. But instead, outside of the right foot. It's a fantastic finish.
What would have been the boss's message at half-time, do you think? Because they obviously go in at 2-1, and the final stages of that first half, so impressive. But yet, a large chunk of that first half, they've maybe been struggling a bit, Jase.
Yeah, I think the message would have been just concentrate. You know, you've got yourselves in front. We've seen plenty of times this season individual errors that have led to Liverpool losing games, hence Bournemouth last week. You know, they get themselves back to 2-2, and then another error and individual error, it costs them in the end. And you know, you as a manager, you're trying to impose that into your players. Just concentrate on your own jobs, what you've got to do. We know the threat from Anthony Gordon. You know, close the ball down, the source, don't let it get through to Anthony Gordon. Make sure everyone's in close proximity, your lines, you know, just the basics and the fundamentals. You've got yourself in front. You don't need to go looking for another goal, but when we get the opportunities, be clinical. And basically that's what Liverpool did second half.
Yeah, we promised you more chat on Florian Wirtz. Let's have a look at his touch map, actually. I think we can show you that. It shows 53 touches and just the one shot, David, which obviously proved to be quite clinical. But in terms of him, full flow now, 6 goals in his last 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's touches are nice, especially if there's loads of them, but they've got to be good. So it's every time.
Good.
Yeah, but I have to say, I used to think about Grasenberg last season the same way. He was doing things which I don't see other players do, controlling and getting out of tight situations. Now, Florian's doing things I don't see other players do, which is essentially just waltzing through bodies. The lead-up for that Ekitike goal was like it. His finish, it was a typical Florian Wirtz finish, wasn't it? He didn't really do much after he scored the goal. It was like, I'll do this at my pace, but it'll be the right pace in order to score. The finish was superb. As you say, one shot. That's all that was needed. Work done. Yeah, I'm waiting for the guy to break into a sweat. That's what he looks like.
He seems to be one step ahead. I mean, it comes to him and it's like he knows soon as the ball comes to him. Well, he knew before the ball comes to him. If it comes to me, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
But he can execute. He can do it.
It's deliberate as well, isn't it? I mean, that's what I like about it. The finish was deliberate. I mean, that might sound obvious from a goal, but some players just swing a foot and it ends up in the bottom corner. This looked like a deliberate, just like the pass to Ekitike. Everything about it was deliberate. And as I say, we're finally starting to see the player that Liverpool bought.
Absolutely.
And what I like about it is you think, actually, there's probably another gear here somewhere.
It feels like that, doesn't it? Go on, you were.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that goal and take that as an example of where he's at right now. He's growing in confidence. He's growing in physicality. So he's, you know, he's able to shield the ball a bit better. He's able to hold players off. He's becoming more aware in the Premier League of where he can be, where he can't be, where he's going to get tackled, where he's not. He's one step ahead anyway. Early on in his career at Liverpool, he might have took a touch there on the edge of the box, but the fact he's grown in confidence, he's up to speed with the Premier League. He knows he hasn't got that time for that touch, so he knows he's got to pull the trigger as soon as it comes to him. And like Jamie said, that's deliberate. You know, that shot there is deliberate. It's not a pot shot. He knows that's what he's got to do. But it's the fact that he gets it right in the bottom corner to show his quality of his angles and
through the defender.
Yeah, through the defender.
There was a gap between the defender and the goalkeeper, and he's placed it off the bottom of the path. Nick Pope, I felt for Nick actually, because he was diving and he was nowhere near it.
Yeah, it's that end product though that we're seeing now, which we were always seeing quality right from the start. It wasn't like he came in and had a poor start in that sense. It's just that end product and the consistency of the end product as well now.
I go back to what I said before. I think because the nature of his, the way that physically he moves, because even today there was a couple of times where he got tackled, lost the ball. And you look at the physicality of him and you think, oh, that wasn't there wasn't so much commitment in the effort. But when you see him getting it right, you realise that's what he does. And now we're seeing the quality side of it. And occasionally when it doesn't quite go right, it's like, fine, because we've seen him do it properly now, or seeing him with the products at the end of it. So, as I say, I think there's, I want to say growing room, another gear. What that's going to look like, I don't know. I'd be scared
it's
if I was playing against it.
It's a very exciting prospect, though, isn't it, when you think about it.
Because
like
Liverpool haven't bought Florian Wirtz to just be him. They've bought him to improve.
Yeah.
So what's exciting is around him is getting on his wavelength. They actually know now like what he's going to do. I think early on he was doing things and they were like, and he's looking at them going, well, that's where you needed to be. You know, that little one-touch pass there, like you're not getting on the end of, that's where you've got to be. That's what I see.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that, you know, the first goal, you know, he goes past two or three players, he glides past them like Jamo says, and then all of a sudden he could have pulled it with the left foot and he doesn't. He goes across the box, but Ekotike's anticipated that he's going to do that, you know, and he's delivered, you know, and that relationship is gold at the minute. It's worth its weight in gold.
A word for Mo Salah as well, who gets the assists with that. He's got 10 assists in total against Newcastle whilst he's been with Liverpool. He could have maybe had a goal himself tonight at points, David, which you might be frustrated by. Knowing Mo Salah, he always wants to be on the score sheet, but he was unselfish in that moment.
Yeah, and then that was a key thing. I mean, there was a lot of what Mo did today was good. I mean, the sort of the control element of his game, which I think was missing a little bit before the AFCON, that was back. As you say, there was chance. I mean, the one time where he got through one-on-one and to put it in the side netting. The only I defend forwards in those positions because sometimes you've only got one opportunity to shoot and the ball's not in the right place. It might sound a little bit obvious or making up an excuse, but it's true. And again, going back to Ekotike's finish, it was not in the right place for any other shot, but no one was expecting him to do it. But with Mo, yeah, would have been disappointed they didn't score, but that's just Mo wanting to score every game. I think he would have been very happy with his contribution, especially with the assist for Florian there, because in the end, this was a great performance by Liverpool and he was part of the positivity of it.
Yeah, some reaction from the Reds dressing room will be on the way very shortly. We're bringing you Milos Kerkez in a few minutes' time. But just in terms of the performance, what pleased you overall looking at it? What were you turning up here tonight wanting to see, and what are you leaving feeling like you're satisfied with?
I think, you know, we discuss Arnie Slot, don't we? And you know, and he talks at length this season about teams coming with a low block and five at the back, and it's been difficult to break down. But when teams don't come and do this, you've then got to go and win because, you know, you're kind of saying, well, we like playing against teams who do this. Okay, but then
you've got to deliver. Yeah.
And they've gone and done that tonight. But it was an assured performance. It was like, don't get me wrong, you know, there's nothing, you know, 100% positive about a performance. There's always things you can look at and improve. And there were things tonight, you know, Anthony Gordon gets his goal. We were caught short. Kerkez goes to ground. Maybe he could have stood up a little bit. You can nitpick. But in the main, from a positive point of view, I felt they controlled the game, Liverpool. If they played at their tempo, they always looked like they had another gear. Relationships are being forged and they look like that tonight. They've gone and scored four off the back of six against Karabakh. You know, momentum starting to come. And I mentioned before, you know, you go on a 13-game unbeaten run and everyone goes, but then the critics are out, well, who have you beaten? What have you done? And it was Arsenal. It was the only game. And then all of a sudden you go bang tonight. That was a statement performance and a statement victory tonight. And they're the games you've got to, you feed off. That's the energy you've got to feed off. They're the momentum you create from games like that, performances like that.
Yeah, it's the first back-to-back win since December, David. And momentum is critical because we were in the middle of that run. It was such a long unbeaten run. And yet at the same time, very few times in that run, did you feel there was any real momentum there?
I'm not a momentum believer.
Are you not?
No. Because if you win 12 games, that means you'll win 13, which means you'll win every game. It doesn't work that way. It's about confidence. And I think what you've just said there might be that there wasn't as much confidence in the performances during that run. My takeaway from this, and I go back to that stat at the beginning, this is the first time in the Premier League that Liverpool have gone behind, and it wasn't a 5 minute. I've got a thing about scoring too early. You could score after 5 minutes, West Ham Chelsea today, score an early goal, then you've got to try and do something for 85 plus minutes to maintain that lead or that position. Newcastle scored quite late in that first half, comparatively, but Liverpool still came back. Still came back, lead at half time, go and win the game. That was the most important thing for me, because that change room goes, okay, right, we don't want to concede goals, but if we do, you know, especially the first one, it's not going to be critical for the result.
Really important as well to kind of feel like you've translated that form and performance that you see in the Champions League into the Premier League, because we had it last weekend, Marseille, then you go to Bournemouth, you're looking at Bournemouth and thinking, this theoretically is a side that maybe quite suits Liverpool, not too intimidating a ground to go to as well, and it doesn't work out the way we'd hoped. Whereas today they've backed up what they did in midweek, Jase.
Yeah, and you know, we've been waxing lyrical about the performances in the Champions League, Real Madrid, Atletico, and you know, it's been a good campaign and some good performances, and that hasn't related into the Premier League, hasn't it? But tonight it felt, funny enough, like a Champions League performance. You know, it was controlled. You know, we've talked about it at length, the performance and that. But it's, you know, they've beaten a good Newcastle team. I know Newcastle have been great on the road, only two wins away from home, but they've got some really good players. And yeah, they were missing Joe Linton, yeah, they were missing Gomez. But the performance midweek, this is why I probably look at Eddie now, and he'll probably go away and think, you know, why did I go four at the back? Why didn't I just go the same as Paris?
They did play well in the early stages, but for sure.
They got to hit the post from that free kick.
Yeah. I mean,
there were moments, they had a rally of set pieces. I mean, there were moments in that game where, and again, it's something positive for Liverpool. Liverpool could have gone, oh, hang on, this is too much for us. Then they score, and it's kind of like, well, maybe this is too much for us. But then they come back and obviously win the game. I don't think Eddie set his stall out necessarily wrongly. I just think that Liverpool showed that there is more to them now than there might have been a month or so or 4 months ago. That was a positive on Liverpool's side, I think.
Yeah, I think he's played into Liverpool's hands, to be honest. I think he's got it wrong.
You think he should have come and parked the bus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Milos Kerkez has been waiting impatiently to speak to us. We're going to hear from him now. He's with Peter McDowell in the tunnel, Pete.
Well, Milos, well done. I think you're feeling the effects of quite a physical game there tonight, but first and foremost, really great team performance.
Yeah, really happy. Great mentality, great energy in the stadium from the fans. Really unbelievable today. I never felt this, to be honest. Today was crazy, so I think everyone got a lot of energy from that. And like you say, great, great team spirit, great fight, great performance.
And coming back from a goal down as well, which you've struggled to do this season, but you know, having had the good start that you had to go the goal behind, and then the response was fantastic.
Yeah, we had the 25, 30 minutes, they get a couple of set pieces. We had to stay brave there, focus really to head the ball away, because they're a tall team, they can use their chance, you know, but brilliant from Ali, from Ibu, Virg to defend these crosses. And yeah, we went down, but yeah, like I said, fans were giving us energy after that a lot, and two quick goals, 2-1 and a half time, and after that, yeah, you know what happens.
Give us an insight from a player's perspective, this understanding that Flo has with Hugo. You know, one will assist, the other one will score. That it looks like it's a match made in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, brilliant players, you know, obviously. I watch them every day in training, so it's nothing new for me. But, yeah, it's enjoyable when people come to the stadium and see these two ballers, you know, play like that. And they're really helping us a lot. They improved a lot. And, yeah. They're going to continue to do that for season and rest of the years.
Big moment for Ibu to come back into the team to get the goal. It was almost like it was written in the stars, and a nice moment for you all as a team to show your support to him there at the Kop end at the end.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, we all love him. Obviously, really sad, you know, what happened. But he's really big respect for Ibu and big love that he came back earlier. He wanted to come back. He wanted to train. He wanted to help us today in the game. And like you see, he showed brilliant, brilliant mentality, brilliant game, scored a goal. And we're all really, really, really happy for him. And, you know, we all love him.
And just finally, you mentioned in a couple of the answers there, the atmosphere here tonight. You're enjoying your best moment as a Liverpool player. You've been fantastic the last month or so. But the power and the almost the shouts at the end from the fans, you know, champions. It was a performance of champions, wasn't it, tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was brilliant. Like you say, big performance. We were all really ready to fight, to run back, run in front, counter-attacks, defend the set pieces. So great mentality. And if we are like this every week, you know, is there will be big things, you know. And I hope that now we rest, you know, celebrate tonight this, and then next week again here in Anfield with City. So fans are unbelievable, and we want to give them good moments. So I hope it's going to be many more.
Brilliant tonight. Well done, mate.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well done, mate.
Milos Kirk has there, speaking with LFC TV. We've spoken about Florian Wirtz finding his feet, Jason, but he is another one, I think, in the last couple of months, he's really come to the fore now.
When you think of the fullback positions at Liverpool over the last 6 or 7 years, they've been probably the most productive, you know. With
yeah, the big
Trent,
shoes to fill, aren't they?
Very big shoes to fill with Trent and Andy Robertson. And, you know, he's had to come in, he's dislodged Andy Robertson. You know, all eyes are on him. He had a really good season last season at Bournemouth, and you know, we were just waiting. But then you come to Liverpool, it's a step up. It's a massive step up in expectation, your performances, the scrutiny that you get. And to be honest, he's come under quite a bit of scrutiny, and it's not been easy for him. But again, we talk about these relationships. You know, when I was playing right back, you've got to create a relationship with James. I was the keeper, knowing when he's coming, knowing he's going to get the ball. Your centre-half, you've got to strike up a relationship with your centre-half, your midfielder who's got to come over, who's going to cover you. There's lots of things that go into playing that position. And, you know, I don't want to be critical, but it didn't work for him early on. But he's finding his feet now. He's growing in confidence. He's growing into the position. And he's growing into a Liverpool player. You know, he knows what the expectation is. And he knows what's needed to play week in, week out at a high-performance level. Could have done better with the goal tonight. You know, I felt he should have stayed on his feet a little bit. Once you dive, you spread yourself, your legs will get bigger, and that's where the ball went through his legs tonight. He just got to block the shot. He just stand up and block the shot. But apart from that, you know, I it was another solid performance.
Yeah, unlike obviously Hugo Ekitike and Florian Wirtz, he did of course have that Premier League experience already with Bournemouth, David. But as Jason says, there's so many factors to move into a new club, and especially when you're so young as well.
There's some Wolves players who have got Premier League experience this season. It doesn't mean that all experiences are the same. What I think is interesting about that, though, is it's not just he's gone to another Premier League club. Bournemouth are in a bad team, obviously. But he's come to Liverpool, which, first of all, gives you a bigger audience of critics and fans, whatever. But he's also come into Champions League. He's got to get used to the fact that this isn't just like a weekend-to-weekend fixture list. It's like commitment all the time, expecting to win all the time, the pressure that comes when you don't win, as Liverpool, as you experienced early on the season. But today, it's one thing the ball boy giving Ali the ball. I don't think at any moment when the ball boy is giving Ali the ball for that goal kick that he was expecting it to go to Kerkez to find. If anything, it was going to be a direct ball through to Ekitike. But he saw it on. He made a perfect pass, and that led to the second goal, which effectively killed the game. I mean, just looking through the minutes there, I mean, first goal and second goal were with a minute or two between. After Newcastle scored, Andy Gordon had another shot on target. So again, the game flipped in 2 minutes, and Kirkus's pass was crucial. It's an assist, albeit from the edge of his own box, but it's an assist.
It all count.
Which has given Liverpool the platform to go on and comfortably win the game. So I think he's growing into the position. He's enjoying it more than anything. He might not smile too much in the interview, but that might just be a character thing. But I know he's enjoying himself, and that's the key thing.
Funny when you speak about him filling the boots of Andy Robertson as well, because when you look at when Andy Robertson arrived at a similar age from Hull, it also took a little bit of time, and then he goes on to become one of the best left backs this club has ever seen. So that can be natural sometimes.
Yeah, different type of management between Jürgen and Arne. Arne's decided to persist with Kerkez, where you're right, Andy Robertson came in, didn't do what Jürgen wanted. He was taken off the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had to learn kind of the hard way. It was like, you're not doing what I'm asking for, so you're not playing. And Andy Robertson had to learn that way, and he did, you know, and he turned out to be one of the best left backs in the world for 5 seasons, didn't he? So, you know, different kind of management. But, you know, and the other thing as well is, if you look at the other side, which has been a problem area, let's say Bradley Hadner got injured, he doesn't have Trent sitting on the bench
looking at him, watching his performances, thinking, yeah. I'm ready to step. Robbo's still here.
Yeah.
You know, Robbo's still a massive part of the leadership group. He's still a well-respected senior professional. You know, his attitude's been brilliant as well. And Kirkez is, you know, he knows that if he doesn't perform, Robbo will be back in, as there's been times this season. Mm-hmm. Robbo has slotted in, but he is the number one left back.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword because he has spoken about how much help Andy Robertson has given him at the same time. Oh. But as Jason says, of course, it must be, I suppose, a bit of an intimidating situation at times, David.
By all accounts, he is a lovely guy off the field. Yeah. Not saying he's not a lovely guy on the field, but he's a lovely guy off the field. I think the key thing, and this goes all the way back to the recruitment side of things, Liverpool aren't going to recruit bad people. And it helps if they're good people who are very good footballers. Yeah. So there's a part where you would expect Andy Robertson to do what he's doing and you'd expect Kirkez to appreciate it rather than bringing someone who doesn't fit that mould. So it's about the team rather than the individual. And I think what you've got in Kirkez now, we're starting to see with Ekitike, is the recruitment side of it being right because they're starting to make the team better. We can talk about them as individuals, but it's more about the team. And I just think in that left-back position, you've got two tremendous professionals who are going to enhance Liverpool long term.
Okay, thanks very much, guys. We are going to head back inside the main stand now to hear from the boss. Arne Slot has been speaking at his post-match press conference.
Congratulations tonight. Another big win this week. Is it the perfect sort of result to start out the goals? A bit of momentum is pretty a bit fresh part of the season.
Yeah, of course. We are an industry where it's all about results. And I've asked after the Bournemouth game, or not asked, asked as well to the players, but told you as well that we have to improve in both boxes because in between we do so many things at such a high level. And in the last two games, scoring 10, only conceding one, I think I can safely say that has been a big improvement. And pleased and happy that we have these two results, but because of the many points we've dropped, we are also aware that this is certainly not enough.
I guess it's another game where you must be divisive that you managed to sign Hugo Gattiki.
Yeah, but not only him. I think our other signings played a very good game as well. Everyone should talk about his goals and his actions and how nice this is because this is where pundits or every fan should talk about because that's much more important than work rate off the ball for them. But for me as a manager, I see throughout the last 6-7 months improvement, but lately a lot of improvement in terms of work rate off the ball. Not even work rate, but the ability to keep on going off the ball with, especially with Hugo and Florian. They've improved throughout the last 7 or 8 months. But now I think everyone can see that improvement as well. And the better we are off the ball, the more we have the ball, the more we have the ball, the more they can show how special they are and all the ones that won the league here are together. And unfortunately, that took a bit of time because that's what how high the intensity levels of the Premier League are.
Can I just finish by asking about Ibu Kanate? Obviously, it was a really emotional moment for him scoring here, Francis.
Yeah, of course you can. He had a very difficult 2 weeks and probably still has a difficult time. But we spoke in the end of last week when he said, I'm planning to be back in the end of this week. So that would have meant that he could not have played this game. But when he saw all the problems we had defensively, he called me early this week, say, I want to be back to help the team against Newcastle. And he came back Wednesday, trained twice with us. And today, not only he scored a goal, but I think he played a great game and the fans were really appreciative throughout the whole game. But definitely at the end when he scored and his teammates were just as appreciative when he came in the dressing room after the final whistle.
Hardly you touched on it there, but the understanding that Hugo Ekitike and Florian Betts are building, particularly in the last few weeks, it was, she's up to me, it's, you're very pleased with him, that plays very well.
Yeah, no, of course. But I don't think it comes to a surprise to anyone. Definitely not to me, because the more players play together, the more they can find an understanding. And I've tried to explain why it was difficult for them to play earlier on in the season, every 3 days a game. And now they are able to do that. because they can keep going. They can play more often together. We can play more often with the same team or same combinations. And as last season has shown, the more you can play together, the better it is. And I've always said that I would love to play, not love, but I prefer to play as much as I can with the same 11. But for obvious reasons, that wasn't always possible. But now it's more and more possible. And then you can also see that connections are getting better and better, not only with these two, but also with other players.
And then you said there about T-Rex, could this T-Rex show an appreciation for him? Could you give us a modern picture of what actually happens this afternoon?
No, he and I think Florian had an interview after the game. So then we were all waiting for the last two to come in. And then when he came in, of course, everybody was cheering for the both of them, but definitely also for Ibu, because it's very nice for him to score a goal when he is in such a difficult time. And I think this team has shown that we are always there for each other in difficult circumstances, and that's what they were for him in the last few days. And that's why I think they were so happy for him that that he was able to score, which was told to me, but I'm not sure if I'm lying, but his first goal at Anfield since he's here. That's what people told me, but I don't know if that's true.
You come to the Ajax win the league game for the first time since Football Match and Bobby Tyson. How important is that to the psychology that's maybe breaking that barrier come to game? So, get this, get the best.
What a bad statistic is that? I wasn't even aware of it. You're talking about home games or home and away games? It's the first time that we go behind after the Tottenham game and that we win a game of football?
Yeah.
In the league. Oh, in the league. Okay, yeah, but still, that's a long time ago. I think so many times we've come back from going behind and so many times we've showed mentality, but unfortunately, like last week, we conceded it in the end. So I think not only coming back from and winning it, I think it's the whole way we won it, the way we defended in our box, the way the desire we had to attack the other box, because we had a very tough first half hour. But after that first hour, we could have scored more goals than it took quite a long time, let's put it that way, before we scored the third. We had a lot of opportunities to score it earlier. But we just kept on fighting. There was a great combination between the fans and the players. And yeah, I think that is indeed important to come back from behind. But I think it's even more important the way we played in both boxes.
And I'm wondering about what he goes for on the pitch for him as well. There's a video this week of him on the training grounds and with all the canteen stuff. But he's spoken before about how well liked he is at the training ground. Just tell us a bit about this character, because it seems like a real.
Yeah, funny, happy, always brings nice energy to the training ground, but also to the stadium, because the fans love him as well. From the start, he's here. I think everybody can see how special he is, how fast he is. That was probably seen the best in the second goal he scored. He took a 1v1 and went on the outside, which is very, very difficult in modern football to beat someone around, because usually players go to the inside and have a shot with the right. But there you can see his space. But again, I would love to mention the fact that he's not only, probably didn't even improve that much on the ball, because he was special from the start, but his biggest improvement is his work rate off the ball, and that is so helpful and necessary for any team, let alone for a team that wants to press throughout 95 minutes.
There was a bit of talk yesterday about Inter Milan wanting Curtis Jones. I presume you don't want anyone leaving in the next 2 days before the deadline.
Yeah, I think there's always a lot of talks about Liverpool and a lot of talks about Liverpool players. There was a lot of noise around the club in the last week, maybe I should say weeks, but I think our fans showed today what noise really means. That's being loud, because they were so helpful today. So that is what noise here is in Liverpool. I think we are trying to strengthen the squad and not trying to weaken it. And but yeah, 48 hours or 72, I don't know how long to go. So let's see where the window ends up.
The Liverpool FC retail winter sale is on now. Save up to 70% on selected items, including LFC label fashion and souvenirs. Save 20% on selected Adidas, including 25-26 season home kit. And all Red members save an additional 10%. The Liverpool FC retail winter sale is on now.
At your official LFC stores, online at liverpoolfc.com/store and on the official LFC store app.
You said you felt for Nick Pope at times tonight, though, as a keeper, if you've got Hugo Ekitike running at you. I mean, what frightens you about his game the most? And
well, if I can bring up an analogy or an anecdote, which is quite apt, Michael Owen.
Yeah.
When he was playing for Newcastle, he came through one-on-one. I positioned myself right and he toe-punted it past me. Low, and it went in. And I thought, what are you doing? Because you're not supposed to toe punt the ball. It's kind of like you're not expecting it. I don't do it in training. And for Nick, he's come up against someone who's scoring Fernando Torres-esque goals. I mean, Nick Pope will know Fernando Torres probably personally at some level, but unless someone's doing it against you regularly in training, you're just not going to pick up all the cues.
Mm.
The goal, Ibu's goal as well. I mean, forget the fact that Nick sort of dropped it in the first place. There's a bit where it's coming through bodies and he's desperately trying to claw it back before he goes over the line. Sometimes for a goalie, it's better not to even try. I mean, everyone says you've got to go for everything, and I get that. But when you try and you don't get it, you just feel for them.
I feel you. Go on. you look like you're going to say something. You look ponderous there.
No, he's got a bit of everything. I've got a bit of a soft spot for him because of what happened at the beginning of the season. Listen, he's brought in very expensive. He's come here expecting to play with high expectation from what he'd done in our previous clubs. And then all of a sudden, Liverpool go and spend all 120 million on Alexander Isak, and he must be thinking, well, are we both going to play, or am I going to, you know, be sitting on the bench playing second fiddle to a player who's just been bought for 125 million? And I really like his attitude, because I think Liverpool were waiting to get Isak in. When they did, Ekitike was taken out the team. I think he found it really quite difficult to deal with, but his attitude was really good. When he was coming on as sub, he was a threat. He was putting himself about. Wasn't going in for him, but he was a handful, and the crowd kind of responded to that a little bit. And then listen, you know, down to the unfortunate incident with Isak where he gets injured, you know, he then becomes number one, and it's kind of like he's not looking over his shoulder anymore at Isak, and he's kind of flourished for that. It's kind of like, well, I'm the number one, I'm going to get picked, and I'm going to, you know, work my way into the game. And now he's, you know, his goal scored in tally is fantastic, and he's a threat.
I mean, listening to Arne's interview there was an interesting part where he said he's getting fitter. And I think that's another thing that people don't necessarily realise. I mean, you see a lot of injuries in football. It's not about that. It's about the ability to be able to recover during the game and still put out near enough 100%. The Champions League a couple of weeks ago, I think was it the Marseille game? Then down to Bournemouth, Ekitike, who was great in Marseille, was on the bench. So it's, again, a bit having this opportunity when you want to play and start every game. The fact that he was resting against Bournemouth and then starts again today gave him the opportunity to go, right, I am the number one.
Yeah.
So there is, in a weird way, this competition, but I think a lot of the competition is about his fitness, not just the other personnel.
Okay, thanks both. We are just going to bring you up to date as to what has happened across the rest of the Premier League today. Of course, we were the evening kickoff, but a few games took place earlier on in the afternoon. We'll start down at the Amex. Beto with a 97th minute equaliser for Everton to bring a point back home to Merseyside. 1-1 that one finish with Brighton. Arsenal, who looked like it would be a reasonably tricky fixture for them at Elland Road, but not to be in the end. 4-0 they beat Leeds United. Very comfortable for the lead leaders, although a bit of a blot on the copybook. Bukayo Saka injured in the warm-up ahead of that game. It finished at Molineux. Wolves 0 at Bournemouth 2 in the 5:30, a very lively game at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea leaving it late after being 2-0 down at half-time to West Ham. They came back to win at 3-2. We, of course, know what happened here at Anfield. 4-1 to the Reds over Newcastle. Having a look at tomorrow's fixtures quickly. Aston Villa host Brentford. It's Manchester United against Fulham. Nottingham Forest host Crystal Palace. Tottenham play Manchester City. And the Monday night game is Sunderland against Burnley. So what does all that mean for the top of the Premier League table then? Well, tonight it looks like this. Of course, Arsenal, with that 4-0 win over Leeds, extend their lead at the top. But Liverpool leapfrog Manchester United, going up to fifth. And crucially, that cuts the gap to Chelsea to just the 1 point as well. Everton move up to eighth in the Premier League table with that draw down at Brighton. The bottom of the top flight looks like this. Bournemouth, the only movers in the bottom half of the table. They go up to 12th, and Forest relieved. West Ham have not made up any ground on them down at the bottom. Just in terms of what that means, Jace, it was so crucial. Yeah, knowing that Chelsea result, that Liverpool didn't let them put any more daylight between those two teams.
Yeah, I think the bigger picture, you're looking at a 10-point gap between Liverpool and Villa sitting in third in the Premier League, and you know, that leaves one place for Champions League. We know how important that is for this club to be competing in, what it does for finances and attracting players and building and growing. It's imperative that you're in them four positions. And, you know, with only one being available, Chelsea go and win today. You know, they're creating this little bit of momentum. You've got United hot on your heels. Other teams, it's all congested behind Liverpool. It was important they took 3 points.
I was going to say, because naturally you look at the teams in front of you, but also when you're looking over your shoulder, David, it's so congested. There's so many teams that are in the fight in that pack.
It's starting to separate a little bit. Like we said before the show, had Newcastle won, they would have gone above Liverpool on goal, I think a goal difference or something like that. But that win gives, I say, breathing space sounds like you're comfortable. It's not about that. It's given a little bit more space with a few of the teams. However, and again, thinking of the players in the change room, what's happening, because you can't help yourself, what's happening at Stamford Bridge, knowing that West Ham were 2-0 up at one point, and then all of a sudden, 97 minutes, Fernandes scores a winner, it's kind of like, all right, we've got a job to do. You've then got to make another mental adjustment. The idea that players don't know what's going on elsewhere, I think, is... It's not true.
You do look.
Yeah.
Sure. So again, I mean, and to go a goal down, I mean, this season already proven. There's been lots of reasons why Newcastle scoring first would have been very bad for Liverpool.
Yeah.
But for them to come back and win 4-1, superb. Job well done.
Yeah, it's a big night, isn't it? Speaking of breathing space, we now have just over a week before the next game, which of course is Manchester. A whole week.
Sure they can't fit in a friendly somewhere.
They might try, you never know. But Manchester City, of course, is the next one. They don't have a full week because they play Newcastle in the second leg of the League Cup semi-final. So, Jace, in terms of having a full week on the training ground with the players, it's a luxury the boss doesn't get very often. What will he be looking to do to make the most of that this week?
You're right, it's a welcome relief. I think Champions League, we mentioned, 6 weeks away before we get going. Cup competitions, Carabao Cup is not an issue. So we get a bit of time on the training ground. It's another week to get injured players back. Leading up to what has been in the past 4 or 5 seasons, the biggest game of the season, hasn't it? And you know, the quality of football that has been played in that fixture has been phenomenal. You know, it's been absolutely brilliant. And I don't see anything different. I think Liverpool are in a really good place at the minute. As Arna said, you know, scored 10, conceded 1. There's no better way to go into that fixture. And they've got their problems. There's a bit of inconsistency with City. So it's geared up to be a really, really good game.
They have been inconsistent. I mean, so many teams in the Premier League, David, this season would say the same. But when you look at them in terms of the Champions League, like Liverpool, they go through, they finished 8th, so no need for a playoff. Beat Galatasaray midweek.
Courtesy of Trubin's header, yeah.
Yeah, but when you look at the previous week, they're beaten by Bodo Glimt in Norway. They had a very painful loss to United in the Manchester derby as well. It's been a tricky season for them too.
It has, and Erling Haaland has, I know he scored against Galatasaray, but his sort of run of form of the last sort of 10 games hasn't been anywhere near the standards or the level, shall I say, that he's had before. Just going back to what Arne started, I mean, I don't know what he's going to do, but there's part of me that I hope he says, come in tomorrow for a warm down and have Monday off. They've got the week, and as much as you want them on the training field, the players will be mentally and physically tired. Let them have some rest, proper rest, and then come back in fresh, ready to go. With regards to City, yeah, they've got the 2-0 lead over Newcastle at the moment. You know, they could put that game to bed quite early. It's at the Etihad.
Yeah.
There's a part where their players might be rested as well. So going into, not obviously with days off, but they'll be rested with the commitment to the matches, where they'll be ready to go for the weekend. promises to be another cracker, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, I was going to say Liverpool will maybe feel like they want to avenge what happened at the Etihad earlier on this season, Jason, because it was a really, really painful day, that 3-0 it finished to City. And
it was convincing as well, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was. And it was, I think, we'll might show you the highlights, if you like. That's probably the wrong word, but here we go. I mean, this was back in November, and it sparked a run of heavy defeats because they then lost to Forest, then PSV. We're almost 3 months on now. So what are the big lessons that we'll learn from this one?
Well, I think we're a different animal than what we were back then. It was a weak, lacklustre performance. They actually looked tired, I thought, and City grew in confidence through the game. There was more individual errors from Liverpool. Am I right in saying that there was didn't we score a goal or there was something happened? I
think
Virgil van Dijk header, wasn't it? Yeah, could have changed the complexion, but I still think City had another gear against Liverpool that day. Like I said, I think Liverpool are a different animal going into this. More confidence.
We've mentioned this around Liverpool new signings. I mean, this is one thing that City will have to contend with as well, because the likes of Semedo have come in. He's done well. I think he scored in every competition, one goal in every competition, whatever. But they've had to chop and change their side, not through injuries necessarily, but because of competition. So Champions League against Galatasaray, as I said this week, they couldn't play two of the players which they've just brought in. So for them to come into the Liverpool game, how much fluidity will they have? They're talented players, it's not a question. But how much fluidity will they have as a team compared to Liverpool, who, on the last two performances at least, you would say have got their fluidity back?
Yeah, they won't have that man there, Jeremy Doku, who was imperious in that game. He picked up a calf injury against Galatasaray, so we'll be out for a couple of weeks, which from a City perspective is a blow, but a positive for Liverpool.
Well, if you think we don't have a conventional right back, I think, you know, you've got to take the positive out of that and think, well, he's not playing.
They played a very interesting formation against Galatasaray because they didn't have any wide players, as in the forward wide players. They had Etnori and Nunes doing the wide game, and the guys you thought were going to be wide were in the middle. I was covering the game, and they surprised. I mean, it surprised me. I'm just covering the game, but it was a surprise how they played and how effective they were. They only needed to win. They didn't need to win by extra goals, so to speak. But as I say, when you've got Semedo coming in, who's the other signing? I'm trying to think of the other signing is now. They've made a few signings, haven't they? Again, who's going to start? What's going to the fallout of the game midweek against Newcastle? It's just going to be, I think, again, another epic opportunity or another epic game.
You won't get five at the back. I don't think Pep will do that. So that obviously plays into Liverpool's hands as well.
Yeah,
they went five at the back against Man United and Arsenal.
Maybe they will go five at the back against Liverpool.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity, but also to build, isn't it, on today? Because if they win that one, that's massive, Jace.
I think if you look at the big fixtures, I think, you know, the Real Madrid's, you know, even though Liverpool are in a good place right now, and that was a really good positive performance tonight, against the bigger teams, let's go to the Real Madrid, even Arsenal, I know they didn't have a shot on target, but it was a good away performance by Liverpool. They've turned up for the big fixtures, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, they have, and whether that's down to the way the other team sets up tactically, formation-wise, maybe that has something to do with it, but Liverpool have usually turned up for the big games. So, listen, it's a massive fixture, massive game. You know, I thoroughly expect Liverpool to put a show on and hopefully get the 3 points.
Thanks for being with us on The Reaction. We are back Sunday evening after Liverpool take on Manchester City at Anfield in the Premier League. If you haven't done so already, please do give us a follow to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop. Bye-bye for now.